Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Neinkin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Rab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. This is the final program that we do before the election, which will be held on Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020. And on this final program, we're going to make our final election prediction, and we're going to make our final election endorsement. First of all, I know that there are Republican polls which show Donald Trump winning the election on Tuesday, and the Democrat polls and the media polls show that Joe Biden is going to win. And so the tendency for Trumpsters is to say that the polls showing Biden winning are all fake polls, because there are polls from Rasmussen that occasionally show Trump ahead, and Republican pollsters that show Trump ahead. And indeed, most of the polls were wrong in 2016. And there may indeed be an undercount of Trump supporters, because some people are afraid to say that they support Trump, because there's a violent reaction now in this country to people saying they support Trump. And so there may be people, when they get a telephone call from a pollster, who are afraid to tell the pollster that they're supporting Trump. So you may see, there may be an undercount of Trump supporters. That may also have been true in 2016. Having said that, and acknowledging the fact that I know that the vast majority of you, because almost all of you support Donald Trump, almost all the people watching this video support Donald Trump. And so I know that you, as Trump supporters, most of you are convinced that Trump is going to somehow pull this off and win as he did in 2016. In fact, many of you are certain that he's going to win, and some of you have even said that you think he's going to win by a landslide. Despite the fact that there are Republican pollsters who say that Trump is going to win, and that the Fox News hosts are saying that Trump is going to win, and all the other predictions from Trump supporters, even though we in JTF support Donald Trump for re-election, we support his re-election, we urge people to vote for his re-election, we are pessimistic about what will happen next Tuesday. I am pessimistic, and I believe that Donald Trump will be defeated. That does not mean that we do not have an obligation to get out and vote. It does not mean that we throw our hands up and give up and that we say it's all hopeless and forget about voting. If you have not voted yet, this is your last chance. We urge you to get out and vote for Donald Trump's re-election. It's important. You never know for sure what's going to happen. I don't know for sure what's going to happen. I'm not a prophet, as we say in Hebrew. Ani lo navi ve ani lo ben navi. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. So we never know for sure what's going to happen. And there are election upsets, and there are surprises that happen in politics. So even if, in my opinion, things don't look good, I know that you out there think that it does look good. You see his big rallies. You see Trump confidently predicting he's going to win. You see Republicans saying that the polls that show that Biden is ahead are fake polls. I know all of that. I know that you think he's going to win. I know that you disagree with me. I disagree with me. I know that you think I'm crazy for saying what I'm saying. But regardless, one thing I am urging people to do is still to get out and vote if you have not voted yet. If you have not voted yet, get out and vote. And let's at least do whatever we can to try to turn the situation around if we can. I don't think we can. I think that Trump will lose by millions of votes, and I think that that's bad. I think it's bad for Israel. I think it's bad for the Jewish people. I think it's bad for America. I think it's bad for the world. But that's what I anticipate seeing happen. I think Trump will lose, and I'm unhappy about that, and I'm pessimistic about what will happen. And I'm predicting right now that Joe Biden will be a disastrous president, and that his victory will be really a sad moment and a terrible moment in history. Having said that, and we're going to go through, since it is our final program and since we want to give people reasons to vote for Donald Trump as the lesser of the evils, and he is the lesser of the evils. Having said that, again, what I'm saying on this program is, even though I'm pessimistic about what the outcome will be, even if you're pessimistic about something, you're not allowed to give up. You're not allowed to surrender. Even if you do something that's way against the odds, you still have to take a stand. You still have to try your best to the very end, because you never know absolutely for sure what God has in store or what destiny has in store for us. You never know for sure. And God, of course, controls destiny. The reason I mention God and destiny, it's not because there's a power in the world other than God called destiny, God forbid. God is the only power that controls things in the world. But God does give human beings bechira chofshit, free will. People do have free will to make choices. And so sometimes God stands back and allows us to make our own choices. Sometimes that happens. And so we're going to outline on this program once again why we believe that Joe Biden is a disaster. And even though we don't like Donald Trump, and we're going to explain why we don't like Donald Trump again as well, but why we believe that Biden is worse than Trump and we have to support Trump for re-election, even though we're pessimistic about the results. First of all, the first issue that should be important to us is the issue of Iran building nuclear bombs. Iran's nuclear bomb-making program. Donald Trump did not do a good job on Iran at all. He didn't get out of the Iran nuclear agreement until deep into his presidency. For a couple of years, he kept the agreement and kept renewing the agreement. He finally got out of it when it was very late, but he did get out of it. And that's the difference between him and Joe Biden. Joe Biden will go back to the Obama-Biden nuclear agreement with Iran, which means that Iran will get hundreds of billions of dollars in trade and all types of assistance benefits from the United States and from Western countries that are influenced by United States policy. So that will help Iran build a nuclear arsenal, a nuclear stockpile, which will endanger Israel's survival and which will endanger the whole world, because Iran is the world's number one sponsor of international terrorism. So the Iran nuclear deal and the situation with Iran is the number one reason why there's a difference between Biden and Trump, and Biden is demonstrably worse than Trump on the issue of Iran. That doesn't mean that Iran won't get nuclear bombs under Trump. They may get nuclear bombs as well. It's possible. But at least under Trump, there are sanctions. He did pull out of the Obama agreement. There is always the possibility that Iran's evil Islamic regime could collapse, and all types of things could happen that could prevent them from getting nuclear weapons. So, again, I don't like Trump's Iran policy, what the United States and or Israel should have done and can still do is send in the Israeli Air Force or the U.S. Air Force and just blow up Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, just like Israel did with Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb-making program in 1981, or as the United States did with Saddam Hussein's nuclear bomb-making program in 1990, or as Israel did with Syria's nuclear bomb-making program in 2005, either 2005 or 2006. Israel went in and destroyed Syria's nuclear bomb-making program. It was done in a couple of hours from the air. You don't go in and invade. Stupid Donald Trump, that moron, he thinks that means you're committing us to a war like George W. Bush, who was an even bigger moron than Trump. George W. Bush ran into Iraq and invaded Iraq and occupied Iraq. That was insane. And we, by the way, at a time when this was after 9/11, when Bush did that in Iraq, And 90% of the American people approved of the invasion of Iraq. It was overwhelmingly popular. And we took, as usual, we were the only ones, the lone wolf out there, you know, taking the stand we took. We were completely against, if you remember, we were completely against the Iraq war. And we said that George W. Bush, number one, attacked the wrong country. Instead of attacking Iraq, he should be attacking Iran, because it's Iran that has weapons of mass destruction, not Iraq. That's the first thing we said, and we were proven right. And the second thing we said is, you don't go in, even when you attack Iran, you don't go in and occupy Iran. You just destroy their nuclear bomb-making program from the air and leave, and that's it, and you're all done. In one day, you're finished. That's what you do, just as Israel, again, as Israel did in Iraq in 1981, as the United States did in Iran in 1990, and as the United States did as Israel did in Syria in 2005. That's what you do, or I don't remember if it was 2005 or 2006, but around that time. That's what you do. That's how you solve the problem. You don't occupy Muslim countries, because it's a bottomless pit, and you don't want to go in there, and you don't want to expose American troops to terrorist attacks, and you don't want to spend trillions of dollars rehabilitating countries that can't be rehabilitated. You don't want to do things like that. You just want to eliminate the threat. When there's a threat of mass destruction, of millions of people being exterminated by nuclear war, by in the hands of terrorist regimes, you do go in and take action when you have a threat like that. That's insane to allow that to happen. And it is so easy. The United States and Israel easily have the technology needed to easily carry out an attack like that with at minimal cost. That's what should have been done. And many, many years ago already it should have been done, either by the United States or by Israel. Either country, by the way, is capable of doing it. The Israeli Air Force can easily do it. The United States Air Force can easily do it. The cowardly leaders in Washington and the cowardly Netanyahu regime in Israel are not doing what they're supposed to do. But anyway, Trump is not doing that. Ted Cruz would have done that, and the problem would have been over, and that would have been the end of that. Ted Cruz would have gotten rid of that problem very quickly. He promised to do it, and he would have done it. But you instead chose Donald Trump, who's not going to do that, unfortunately. And so we're in this situation where the problem is not solved, but the problem will get much worse, much faster, if you re-enter into the Obama nuclear agreement, which is what Joe Biden is proposing to do. Now, on the issue of Israel and creating a so-called Palestinian state, there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians, and a so-called Palestinian state in the heartland of biblical Israel would be national suicide for Israel. The Trump Middle East so-called peace plan is suicide for Israel, and by the way, shortly after he released that plan, the coronavirus came and struck the United States much harder than anyone ever dreamed of, much harder than China was struck, much harder than any other country. Okay, and this was God's punishment. Everything was going so well for Trump until then. And then everything went wrong. And it didn't have to turn out that way. Taiwan, with 23 million people, right across the sea from China, and all the Taiwanese businessmen have factories in China, and there's lots of travel and trade back and forth between Taiwan and communist China. And I know Taiwanese, where I live in Queens, who have family members who travel to China all the time and do business with China all the time. And there's a lot of trade and a lot of travel back and forth that takes place. And so Taiwan should have been infected very badly, very heavily. And yet they've had maybe 10 or 11 deaths so far in a nation of 23 million people. The same thing with South Korea. Very few infections, very few deaths. Japan, very few infections, very few deaths. There should have been a lot. They're in close proximity to China. They do a lot of trade with China. There's a lot of travel back and forth between those countries and China. Much more than the United States, in fact. And so, much more than the United States. And so there should have been much more infected than the United States. And yet, it didn't strike there. But in the United States, already we have, I think, 9 million people have been infected. Almost a quarter of a million people have died. I mean, this has been some body blow to America in terms of health, in terms of the economy, and some body blow to Trump's presidency. This was devastating for Trump's presidency because he was on his way to running for re-election with the economy booming and everything was looking great. And then he released the Middle East peace plan, and it's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. I'll bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Woe unto anyone that dares to suggest that Israel give up her land and that Israel should create a so-called Palestinian state and the Jews should give up even one inch of that land that God gave to the Jewish people as an eternal inheritance. That brings a curse upon America, upon Trump, upon Netanyahu and the Israeli government in Israel. They're cursed also for having accepted this and promoted this as well. And so, on Israel, both of them are bad. Both of them are proposing suicidal plans for Israel. And Jared Kushner, it's like a contest between Jared Kushner versus Douglas Emhoff. Who is Jared Kushner? Jared Kushner is Trump's evil, self-hating Jewish son-in-law who intermarried with Ivanka Trump, who is not Jewish, and her conversion was a farce. That was a fake conversion. Talk about fake news. That was a fake conversion, if there ever was one. And Jared Kushner, the evil Jared Kushner, whose businesses were bankrupt and he was bailed out and saved with Persian Gulf Arab Muslim Nazi money, and he's in debt to them up to his neck. He wants to do deals with them and business with them and always wanted to. I mean, this was always his number one priority, and so he is using the fact that he was born Jewish to screw his own people and to push these deals forward together with another self-hating Jew, Benjamin Netanyahu, who will do anything to stay out of prison and who is obsessed with winning the approval of the nations of the world, even at the expense of Israel's security. So that's very, very bad for Israel, the Trump-Kushner Middle East policies. But on the other side, you got Biden, who was part of the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel Obama administration. They certainly are going to work against Israel and pressure Israel to commit suicide. And you've got Kamala Harris's husband, in terms of the evil self. We hate when self-hating Jews reach high positions. That's the worst nightmare for the Jewish people. It started with Henry Kissinger. He was the ultimate example of how he did everything to hurt Israel and almost destroyed Israel in the Yom Kippur War with his evil policies. And Kushner, by the way, relies on Kissinger for advice and likes to model himself after Kissinger, the evil Kushner. But you got Douglas Emhoff, who is Kamala Harris's husband. He's a self-hating Jew. Kamala Harris is married to a self-hating Jew. And that's also a very dangerous situation. So on Israel, I think it's pretty much a standoff. I think they're both absolutely terrible with terrible policies. And by the way, Trump's moving the embassy to Jerusalem did nothing to enhance Israel's security. Complete. Only sick, cowardly Jews who are so desperate for approval are so worried about the United States moving with the United States embassies. That doesn't do anything for Israel. The fact that the embassy's in Jerusalem or in Tel Aviv or anywhere else or in Timbuktu. That didn't do anything to enhance Israel's security. Okay? There's still a freeze on Jewish building in Jerusalem. That's what's important for Israel, that Jews build in Jerusalem. And the Jews, there'd be so many Jews in eastern Jerusalem that there could be no hope of ever taking away part of Jerusalem to create a so-called Palestinian state. The only way to eliminate that is to have massive Jewish settlement and Jewish building and Jews moving in there. And that has been frozen under Trump and under Netanyahu. So the moving of the embassy did nothing to help Israel, recognizing Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights. That did nothing to help Israel. That is not important for Israel. Only stupid, ignorant, cowardly people are worried about getting recognition. We got to have recognition, and we have to have people who like us. This is such a stupid, cowardly mentality. What the hell did that do to enhance Israel's security? The only thing that would enhance Israel's security are actual physical facts on the ground. Destroying Iran's nuclear bomb-making program, that would enhance Israel's security. Building Jewish settlements and having millions of Jews move into Judea, Samaria, the Golan Heights, and East Jerusalem, that would very much enhance Israel's security. None of those things happen, not under Trump, not under Biden, and not under Netanyahu. Now, when it comes to the United States, Biden, I think, is clearly worse than Trump when it comes to the United States and with the future of the United States. Biden does support open borders. The Democrats want as many illegal aliens from the third world to come flooding into the United States as possible, because those illegal aliens will overwhelmingly vote Democrat and will forever change America demographically. Biden favors amnesty for all illegal aliens. Biden favors statehood for the District of Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, and Puerto Rico, which would add four new left-wing Democrat senators for eternity to the Senate, which would give the Democrats pretty much a built-in automatic Senate majority all the time. And Biden and the Democrat Party are completely, viciously anti-Semitic. They are controlled by black, Muslim, Arab, and left-wing anti-Semites of the worst type, who not only hate Israel, they hate Jews. And by self-hating Jews, who are Jewish anti-Semites. The self-hating Jews, like Schmuck Schumer, couldn't care less about the anti-Semitism of the Democrat Party. They will still fanatically support that party no matter what. They would go marching into the gas chambers and the ovens, proclaiming how wonderful the Democrat Party is. And of course, that's also part of the sick, self-hating behavior. Yeah, the Jews, they lived outside of Israel for 2,000 years. You can't be normal when you don't have a homeland and you're a persecuted, homeless, stateless, hated minority for 2,000 years, facing the worst persecution of any people in history. You can't possibly come out of that normal. And so most Jews are nuts. I'm sorry, but most of them are nuts. And so American Jews, and I'm talking about American Jews. Most Israeli Jews are not self-hating Jews. Most Israeli Jews are right-wing. But most American Jews are left-wing, which is insane, because the left is anti-Semitic. The whole left is anti-Semitic. The whole left is anti-Israel. Any Jew who is left-wing is a traitor to the Jewish people and a sick, demented person. So the Democrat Party, voting for them is like voting for the party of Louis Farrakhan, voting for the party of the anti-Semitic left, voting for all the enemies of the Jewish people. Also, you have another issue, which is actually a big issue when it comes to Israel as well as America, and that's the issue of energy independence. Biden, Harris, Kamala Harris, and all these other leftists in the Democrat Party are obsessed with crippling the fossil fuel industry. And what they call green, they want green jobs, what they call green, which is all BS, all baloney. It's all an attempt to have socialist control, socialist monopoly control over the economy. That's really what it is. They're not interested in the environment. This is all lies. All lies. And when Biden says in the debate, admits in the debate that he's going to put the oil industry out of business, the world is not ready to live without oil right now. The world cannot live without oil unless you replace oil with coal. If you replaced oil with clean coal, you could eliminate oil if we had clean coal. But coal for these people is even worse than oil. They're not going to do that. So what they're going to do is they're going to eliminate American energy production and American oil production and fracking and natural gas production. And if they do that, who's going to make up the windfall? Who's going to make up who's going to fill the vacuum? Because there are going to be millions of barrels of oil that the country's going to need just to sustain the economy, just to keep the country surviving and functioning. And so the United States will go to Saudi Arabia and Iran and other Muslim Nazi oil producing countries and hostile third world countries. And will once again be dependent on those countries and once again be buying oil from those countries. That will be the net effect if Biden's green energy policies are ever put into effect. So in that area, he's also worse than Trump. There are aspects, by the way, of Biden's the environmental policies that would be helpful to America. Electric cars are good for America, are good for Israel and America. That can lessen dependence on foreign oil, the electric cars, that's good. Wind and solar and all these other alternative energies, all very, very good. But it's not enough. It's not enough. And so on the issue of energy independence, Biden is clearly demonstrably worse than Trump in a serious way. In the end, it shouldn't matter whether Biden or Trump become president to Jews and to Israel. Israel should become self-sufficient and independent and not have to be concerned about what U.S. presidents or anyone else, any other foreign leaders say. Lo, it is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. Am levadad yishkon uvagoyim lo yitchashav, which means a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations, out of the Bible, out of the Torah. This is the destiny of the Jewish people. This is what we're supposed to be. This is what we were destined to be. And if we follow those policies, that's when Israel is blessed. And when we don't follow those policies, that's when Israel has problems. Every time Israel has defied foreign pressure to do what is necessary for her survival, she has triumphed. In the 1948 War of Independence, the United States pressured Israel not to come into existence. The United States was pressuring the Jewish leaders in Israel not to declare a Jewish state. And they ignored American pressure and ignored Harry Truman, all the Democrats that these self-hating Jews love, all wanted to prevent Israel from coming into existence even. This is 3 years after the Holocaust, 3 years after Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Harry Truman murdered 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. Their policies were responsible for the murder of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust, and the self-hating Jews in America who voted for them are responsible for the murder of 6 million Jews during the Holocaust. But Israel in 1948, the leaders in Israel, because of pressure from underground freedom-fighting organizations, the leaders in Israel were forced to declare independence despite American pressure and pressure from many other countries not to do so. Israel defied the world and ignored the pressure. And for the first time, we had a Jewish state. In 2,000 years, after 20 centuries, we returned to our homeland. The Jews, 3 years after the Holocaust, 3 years after the Holocaust, came back to fulfill biblical prophecy in the most stunning story ever told in history, of any people in history. I mean, the people, they rose. The Jewish people rose out of the ashes of Auschwitz with blazing guns to redeem the land of their forefathers after 20 centuries, after 2,000 years. This has never happened to any people, ever. And it's an impossible story that can only happen through miracle. So in 1948, when the Jews said no to the world and ignored pressure and they were much weaker than Israel is today, we got the incredible, tremendous, miraculous results that we got. And in 1967, 19 years later, in 1967, again the United States pressured Israel not to strike first, not to defend herself, when the Arab world marched on the tiny Jewish state, promising to push the Jews into the sea, promising even in the UN to exterminate Israel. Israel ignored American pressure. Israel struck and defeated her Arab enemies, defeated the whole Arab world, and in 6 days, Israel quadrupled in size. Israel was four times as big as she had been only 6 days earlier. I mean, outnumbered 100-1, and then she quadruples in size in 6 days? This is something even Hollywood couldn't come up with. I mean, these are miracles of biblical proportions. These are greater miracles than many of the miracles that we see in the Bible. We see this happening in our own lifetimes and don't understand the meaning of it. Israel, when Israel defies pressure, Israel triumphs. When Israel gives in to pressure, Israel faces catastrophe. And so Israel must become truly independent and self-sufficient. That's the first thing we really should learn from all of this. Not Biden or Trump or Democrats or Republicans. And this is all crap. Lo, this is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. That's the real policy that works. And the second thing is, for American Jews and Jews living outside of Israel, all good Jews should make Aliyah, should move to Israel. All good Jews should move to Israel. The place for the Jewish people is only in the land of Israel. Not in Philadelphia, where blacks are rioting and burning down stores again. Not in New York or California, living with all the homeless Schwarzes in California. Or in New York, which has become like a communist state. The Jews belong in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. That's the second lesson here. Jews should make plans for Aliyah. And by the way, if you want to make a successful Aliyah, the number one obstacle to successful Aliyah is learning Hebrew. You should learn Hebrew fluently. If you learn how to speak Hebrew, if you can learn Hebrew, and you have an intelligent plan for how to adjust to life in Israel, you're not going to starve in Israel. You can survive. But you got to learn Hebrew. And otherwise you're like, it's like landing on Mars if you don't speak the language. So the number one obstacle to a successful Aliyah is Hebrew. So the first thing every Jew outside of Israel should do, all good Jews, is learn Hebrew and prepare for Aliyah, prepare to move to Israel. Because America, the golden Medina of America, is collapsing pretty quickly all around us. America is becoming, if not already, a socialist third world country. Socialism and third worldism is clearly the wave of the future in America. It's taking over America. And it's not going to be stopped. Not by Trump and not by Biden. It's not going to be stopped. 40% of America now is non-white. And it'll be a majority. The non-Hispanic whites in America have negative population growth, just like whites in Europe have. Negative population growth. In other words, more whites are dying every year than being born. Whereas among all the other groups, all the third world groups that make up the other 40% of the population, they're all growing in population. They're having babies. So the future is quite clear where things are going. That plus the massive immigration. And over 90% of the immigrants are non-white. So you have massive illegal immigration into the United States and a lot of illegal aliens in the United States, 20 to 30 million illegal aliens who eventually will be legalized. And the demographic birth figures that are very much against the future of the United States. That's the future of America. In Israel, look at what God is doing. Despite all this insanity of the whole world, Israel is the only Western country whose citizens, the Jews of Israel, have a high birth rate. Do you know that the Israeli Jewish birth rate is higher than the Israeli Arab birth rate? You know that the Jews in Judea and Samaria have a higher birth rate even than the Muslims in the Middle East? It's just a miracle what's going on. It's a miracle. The future is in the land of Israel. There is no future outside of Israel. You see, American Jewry is completely disappearing, assimilating, intermarrying, disappearing completely. Israel is the only place where there's a future. So, number one, independence, self-sufficiency for Israel. And number two, all Jews belong in the land of Israel. And number three, actually there is a number three, Jews should support those who tell the truth. JTF right now is the only game in town, I'm sorry to say. And it's very tragic that that's true. But we are bringing the truth to the people of Israel. We have an advertising campaign. We have 7 Hebrew videos which are being advertised now extensively in Israel. And hundreds of thousands of Jews in Israel see our videos every year with our advertising. Thousands see them every week and hundreds of thousands see them every year. Is that enough? It's not enough. It's not even the beginning of enough. But at least we're trying. We're doing the best we can to reach as many people as we can with the truth. And God willing, we hope the day will come when we'll be able to do more. And we're doing everything we can to try to figure out ways to do more right now. And we've been doing that all along, trying to figure out ways to do even more. Because we want to bring the truth to people. The truth may not always be popular and usually is unpopular. Usually the majority is wrong historically. It's usually only a minority that sees the truth, that sees the light. That's usually the way history works. But whether we're majority or minority, whatever our status is, the truth must be told, and we must get our fellow Jews to face reality and righteous Gentiles to face reality. That's our task. That's what we're trying to do. Before November 3rd, if you haven't voted yet, let's vote for Donald Trump. But whether he wins or loses, let's remember what's really at stake in the long term. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.